Like to turn this morning to the 61st chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Subject this morning, if I had one, would be just garments. Something that I want to try to look at this morning. And before I didn't have this planned, but before I begin reading, I'll ask you a question on what garment are you wearing today? Now, obviously, I'm not talking about our natural garments. We can see that, and we can see what we're clothed in naturally. Or if you get out into the world, what a lot of people are not clothed in naturally, which is an unfortunate thing. But what are we clothed in spiritually? What is our attire? Very important that we understand that and that we use that the idea or the understanding of those garments to help us grow in this life. Anytime there's a garment that is put on, anytime you put on a garment, it takes effort, doesn't it? You can't just snap your finger in the morning on Sunday morning and you're dressed and ready to go. It takes some effort putting garments on. I want to tell you when we're talking about this spiritual garment, there is some effort that has taken place in order to have this garment.
Right.
In Isaiah 61 and verse 10, Isaiah, through the inspiration of God, would say, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so, or so like, or even so, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." There's a garment here that is spoken of, and we'll get to this garment here in just a little while, but that's not the first one that I want to get to, but that's a good place to start, I believe. And I trust you'll see this as we try to develop our thoughts this morning, that we all fell in Adam. In the Garden of Eden, we can see, we can read early on, it didn't take long for man to disobey God. And we disobeyed God, and we were, from that point forward, we were fallen, depraved creatures. Creatures without any righteousness of our own. In other words, we had nothing in and of ourselves. We could not clothe ourselves with any righteousness. We could not clothe ourselves with any kind of works that we might do. Oh, man tries to do that, sure enough. Man tries to clothe his own self by his works. But we all know, and the scripture is clear this morning, that God is the only one that can clothe us, and that before the Lord clothed us, we were naked. We were destitute. We were depraved. He said over in Isaiah 64, just a page over, in the 6th verse, "For we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon the Lord. that stirreth himself up to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art the Father, we art the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. We are as the leaf, he says there, and we all do, are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We read over in the third chapter of Genesis about the fall of Adam and Eve, the second and third chapter of Genesis there. And we can read that after that Adam had partaken of that forbidden fruit, that their eyes were beholden and they looked upon each other. And you'll read in that seventh verse of the third chapter of Genesis that they looked upon each other and saw their nakedness and were ashamed of their nakedness. And so what did they do? They took fig leaves, didn't they? The Bible says that they took fig leaves and made an apron or clothing, if you will, out of fig leaves. Well, I want to tell you what, fig leaves don't last very long, do they? In fact, any kind of leaf is not going to last long as far as a covering. But that's how man is. Man tries to cover himself. But I want to tell you what, it won't last long. Our righteousnesses, our iniquities are as a leaf that fadeth away and is blown away, is drawn away by the wind, dear child of God. We have no righteousness of our own. Now man likes to say that salvation is a proposition between Jesus Christ and the sinner friend. But I want to tell you, dear child of God, with what you're clothed in, you have no choice. You have no choice in the matter whatsoever. You have no desires for the Lord. You have no love for God. Because we are all clothed in unrighteousness. In Zechariah chapter 3, it says here, and he showed me Joshua the high priest. In Joshua, in Zechariah rather, chapter 3. Now this is not the Joshua of Deuteronomy that brought the children of Israel over. This is a different Joshua. This is Joshua the high priest. And he showed me Joshua the high, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. You see where Satan's at? Satan is in the, if you will, there's a picture here. And the Lord talks to us through pictures oftentimes so that we can understand it. Satan is in the courtroom of heaven, so to speak. He's there to resist Joshua. He's there to show guilt in Joshua, that Joshua is guilty. You remember that's what Satan did with Job. That's what Satan tried to do. He said, take everything he's got, Lord, and he'll serve, and he'll curse thee to thy face. He won't serve you. He's only serving you because you took every, because he's got so much. You see, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And we can read that, and maybe we'll have time to get to that over in the 12th chapter of Revelations. But he goes on to say, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this brand plucked, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now he's talking about Joshua. Is not this a brand that has been plucked out of the fire? You know who plucked us out of the fire? It was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It wasn't our righteousness. It was what the Lord did for us. And he goes on to say in that third verse, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. He was clothed in what? And filthy garments. all of our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. Furthermore, we can read, and we'll come back and finish that over there in a minute, in Job, in the book of Job, where he tells us, I believe it is in the 10th chapter of Job, that's the 9th chapter of Job, and the 30th verse, he says, if I wash myself with snow water, if I wash myself with snow water, listen to what he says, and make my hands never so clean. Now, what does he mean by make my hands never so clean? Well, hands in the Bible represent works, the works of the hand. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean. Now, this is man talking. The works of man. He says, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. Mine own clothes, with what we're clothed in, shall abhor me. Man has nothing in and of himself, dear child of God, in order to obtain his own righteousness. In fact, there's another one I want to get to in 59. I've got Isaiah 59 in the 5th verse. They hatch cockatrice eggs. Now, we're talking about serpent eggs. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of the eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with what? With their works. You see how he's comparing that? Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves. Let me go back and get that. Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. You know, could you imagine trying to have a garment that was made out of a web? Wouldn't be very, wouldn't cover up a whole lot, would it? Wouldn't protect you very much from the elements, that's for sure. I mean, I wouldn't want to wear something like that and go out and shovel snow. we're talking about something here that we're unable to cover ourselves with our own works. He goes on, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover them with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. That's why. Because their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Now, when we read the next two verses, I trust it sounds somewhat familiar to you, that he says, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Of course, a lot of that's what the Apostle Paul wrote in the 3rd chapter of Romans when he's talking about the dead alien sinner and who we all are in our own unrighteousnesses. And we're nothing. We fade as the leaf. But getting back to our text, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Now here's a garment we can talk about. People say, well, you've got to put this garment on. If you want to become a child of God, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to accept Jesus Christ. You've got to do those things, whatever those things are. Those things can be numerous, and depending on whatever religion, whatever they ascribe to in any religion, can be numerous. You have to do these things. In other words, if you want to become righteous, You're going to have to do these things in order to put on this garment. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to what he says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Listen to what it says. For he hath clothed me. You get that? He hath clothed me. We didn't clothe ourselves, dear child of God. It's the Lord that has clothed us, not we ourselves. It says, for he hath clothed me with what? With the garments of salvation. This is something that we have. We have been, if you've been born again, if you are a born again child of God, it has that clothing, that garment has been vitally applied to you, his righteousness, and that salvation. We have been clothed with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. We don't have something of just a fig leaf to try to cover us anymore. In fact, you go back over there to that third chapter of Genesis in the 21st verse. And you know, I said in the 7th verse, it talks about they made an apron. They sewed figs together and made an apron. That didn't last long. In the 21st verse of the 3rd chapter of Genesis, you'll read where the Lord went and got the coats of animals and clothed them with the coats of those animals. Something that would last. And I want to tell you what, dear child of God, it doesn't tell us there what that animal was. We don't know. It could have been anything. But I just about bet this morning that that was a lamb. I believe that coat was a sheep. I believe it depicted the Lamb of God. And we are clothed in his righteousness. We have been robed in his righteousness. You, dear child of God, who were a leaf that fadeth away, that was full of iniquity this morning, you are clothed in righteousness. You're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's a garment, by the way, you can't take off. Aren't you glad? You know, some believe you can. Some believe you can take that off and lose your salvation. You're not being a child of God anymore. No, dear child of God, when the Lord clothes us, it's good. He said, he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You see, you're beautiful before the Lord this morning. You've got that robe of righteousness. The Lord hath clothed us. Over in Ezekiel chapter 16, we can read over there some very similar thoughts that guide our mind. He says in the 3rd verse, he says, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan, thy father an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite. As for thy nativity in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee. This was our state. None I pitied thee to do any of these things, to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon me, for thou wast cast out in an open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. You see, we were just cast out into an open field. There was no eye there to have pity upon us or compassion. We were cast out because of our own sins, because of who we are, because of we had no righteousness at all. He says, and when I passed by thee, talking about the Lord, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. This is the Lord. We didn't come to the Lord. The Lord passed by us. The Lord came to us. We didn't go to him. When I passed by thee, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. live. Now, if that man that passed by called out to that infant to live, don't you reckon that infant was dead in that open field? Absolutely. And that's exactly who we all were, polluted in our own blood, dead in trespasses and in sins, but it is the Lord that came to us. And He said, live, yea, and I say live. And I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art become to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, thou wast naked and bare. Thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And listen to what He says here. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. I spread my skirt over thee and I covered thy nakedness. You see, we've been clothed with His righteousness. The one that was left out into the field. The one that was dead, polluted in His own blood. It was the Lord that came to him. It was the Lord that came to me. It was the Lord that came to you and said, live, yea, I say live. Now I want to tell you what. That may not be good news for a lot of people that have heard it all their life, but I've heard it all my life, and I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that the Lord came to me where I was at, and He said, live, yea, I say live. Now when now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine, adopted into the family of God. He delivered us from that open field, the world, if you will. The field many times in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament is talking in parables, is talking about the world. He came to us in this world where we were at. And He came to us where we were at. And He said, live, yea, I say live. And we were naked and polluted. And you know what He did? He clothed us. And He entered into a covenant, that everlasting covenant. He said, and thou becamest mine. And that's who we are today, dear child of God. We're clothed in His righteousness. Going back to what I was talking about over in the third chapter of Zechariah and Joshua, where it says in the third verse, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Listen to what it says in the fourth verse. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from them. Take away the filthy garments. Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. You see, those leaves are our unrighteousness is full of iniquity. We can't clothe ourselves in iniquity. But the Lord said, I've caused your iniquity to pass. He said, take off your clothes. Change your clothes. Those clothes of iniquity. The garments of sin and sorrow that Joshua had here. He said, take that away. He said, and to him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. Again, who's doing it? The Lord's doing it. He says, I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. And he said, and I said, let them set a fair mitre, a diadem, a crown, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Do you know that's why the Apostle Peter can say we're priests and kings now, kings and priests unto the Lord in His house? We went from having nothing, we went from rags to riches, didn't we? We went from raggedy old tattered clothes that couldn't cover us, and we went from that to being in the garments and the robe of righteousness, being dressed as a king, given a crown. You see, the Lord has brought us into the church with that knowledge of where we stand with Him, of what He has done for us in this life. There's a garment that man can't wear or tries to wear. It's the garment of iniquity or the garment of unrighteousness. There's the garment that we all have each and every day, don't we? Because of what the Lord has done, because the Lord has clothed us. But there's also another garment as a child of God that we should be putting on every day. There's a garment. Now, I'm not talking, of course, as a natural. I'm talking about a spiritual garment that we should be adorning ourselves with. Isaiah says in Isaiah 52 and verse 1, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion." Who do you think old Zion's talking about? Well, that's Old Testament stuff. That doesn't really pertain to us nowadays. We're past the Old Testament. No, you're not. I want to tell you, the Old Testament is just as fresh as this morning's newspaper. It's current for us now. It's good for us now. You know who Zion is talking about? Well, it's talking about them. It's talking about Israel back in the day. Well, in a sense it was. In a sense it was talking about literal Zion. But figuratively speaking, you know who Zion is? It's you. It's you. I could just say it's the church. But let's bring it down to who the church really is. The church is you. You are the church. You make up the body of Jesus Christ. You are this morning, collectively, the members of Mountain Home Primitive Baptist Church, collectively, is Zion. You are Zion. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake, awake. Awake, awake. You know, it's easy for a church to fall asleep, spiritually speaking. I've seen a lot of them fall asleep, literally speaking, trying to preach. But I'm talking about spiritually speaking. It's easy for a church to get in a slumbering state, a state of slumber, and to lose that fervent heat, to lose, for the church to lose their first love. It's easy for the church to forget about all the great things God. You see, we old Baptists have something special. Now, some of us here were raised in the Primitive Baptist, and I'm thankful that I was. I wasn't obedient to it my whole life, but I was raised in the Primitive Baptist. And we get raised into the Primitive Baptist. You know who some of the most energetic, lively members of the church are? People that weren't raised Primitive Baptists. You know who some of the most energetic, lively preachers are? Preachers that weren't raised in the Primitive Baptist. You know why? Because they see greater than we do, or that you do, of what rocked in the cradle. They see greater than what we do of what they now have. And we have the same thing. Now, the gospel became new to me after I left the church for many years, and it was just like being, almost like being born again. I mean, I wasn't born again. I was born again at a young age. I believe that with all my heart, but it was just like a new day in my life, that the gospel began to just open up. And that's what we need. If the gospel begins to get old to us, we need to be concerned about that in and of ourselves. We need to question, am I just going through the motions? Or am I really meditating upon the goodness of God and what He's done for me? Awake, awake. We need to be awakened sometimes and shaken up and say, hey, remember, you're clothed in His righteousness. He's done it all. You don't have a thing that you have to do in order to go to heaven. And there's nothing required of you to go to heaven other than nothing required to go to heaven. But what is required is that we praise Him in this life. And that we come to the Lord's house awake, spiritually speaking. That we come to the Lord's house thirsting and hungry for the gospel. That we come to the Lord's house desiring to see and to love and to embrace one another as the church. If you've lost that, we need that back again. You need that back again. No pastor wants to pastor church that's asleep, and nobody in the congregation wants a pastor that's asleep. They both got to be awake. It's just as much, not just you, it's just as much for the pastor as it is. I'm talking about myself as much as I'm talking about anybody else. It's easy for the pastor to go to sleep. Sometimes the pastor has to be told to awake. Wake up. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on what? Thy beautiful garments. Now wait a minute. Here, He's telling us to put something on. We read later on that the Lord put it on. The Lord put that garment upon us. You see, we're not talking about the robe of righteousness that justifies us before God. We've already talked about that robe of righteousness that justifies us before God. But when you read this over here in the 52nd chapter, we're talking about the garments that adorn our righteous standing with God. It's the garments that adorn our righteous standing with God. In other words, if the Lord has covered us with the garments of salvation and has covered us with the robe of righteousness, and salvation is all of the Lord, and we're all righteous through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, you know what we're called to do? We're called to act like it in our lives. Not to act like this world. We're called to act like children of God that have this truth, that see this truth, that rejoice in this truth, and we're to put that on that shows us our standing with the Lord, that we love the Lord and we want to follow Him. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. From henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now, spiritually speaking, we're not to have somebody in here that's uncircumcised at heart, right? What I'm saying is the church is for baptized believers. That's what I'm saying. It's for children of God that show forth the fruit of being born again by the Spirit of God. Goes on to say, shake thyself from the dust. When I think about that, when I read that, shake thyself from the dust, I think about all the worldly things out there, out in this field. All the worldly things that we wallow in this life. All the things that we do, I know I mispronounced that, it's wallow, just have charity for me. But we wallow in the things of this world and we become dirty. And he goes on to say, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and what? Sit down. Sit down where? Sit down in the grace of God. Sit down and be tutored of the Lord. Sit down and listen to what the Lord would have us to do. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem. loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. What do you mean? He says, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. I want to tell you what, we can become servants of this world and lose out on the greatest blessing that is afforded us, and that's the blessings of being in the Lord's house. We can become servants of the world. Well, I don't have time for church. You see, I've got too much going on. I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to I've got all these things that I got to do, but when I'm not doing those things, I'll come to church. And some will say, well, I just don't have time for church at all. I'm not going to be going to church at all. Just too busy. You see, we allow the world, we just yoke ourselves up with the world. Oh, Jerusalem. And we forget about all those blessings. In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, you remember the wedding feast? In the wedding feast, we're talking about a marriage. Now you remember, what we're talking about now is a garment that we should be putting on that shows forth our righteous standing with God. Doesn't make us, doesn't justify us, doesn't make us righteous. We've already been made righteous, but it shows forth our righteous standing with God, that we are righteous because of what God has done. And we are to wear that garment. And here at the wedding feast, we're talking about the church. It's a great type of the church and coming in to the church. And they went out to get servants. They sent servants out and bid them to come in, and they wouldn't come in. Now that we don't have time to go through this whole, maybe perhaps some other time, it's talking about they went out first to the Jews, and the Jews wouldn't come in, and they said, well, go out to the highways and the byways and compel as many as you can, the poor and the sick. What did he say here? Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you find, bid to marriage. So in the 10th verse, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests, both bad and good. You're good, I'm bad. You know, we all need a little work done, don't we, when we come into the Lord's house sometimes, some more than others. Let's just be truthful about it. But they brought in good and bad, and the wedding, it says, was furnished. And the king, in the 11th verse, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, when comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. You see, we've got somebody here that came in to the wedding that wasn't wearing the appropriate garment, wasn't wearing the wedding garment. When we come into the Lord's house, we're to come in wearing that garment. You say, well, what is that garment? Well, we'll get to that here in a minute. And he said unto, in the 13th verse, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. Now people say, well, he cast him into hell. Because he didn't have on a wedding garment. He didn't put on what he was supposed to put on. And because he didn't put it on, he's cast into hell. No, it doesn't say he was cast into hell. It says he was cast into outer darkness. It didn't say hell. You know where outer darkness is? The truth, where the truth is, where the church is, it's a candle. It's that city that's set on a hill, and it cannot be hid. He said, don't put your candle under a bushel, but put it on the candlestick, that it giveth light under all that are in the house. It's the church. The church is where the light is. That's what the Lord said in talking to the church at Ephesus in Revelations. He said, repent or else I'll come quickly and take the candlestick from out of its place. You know what the Lord meant when he says, I'll take the candlestick from out of its place if you don't repent and go back to your first works? He goes, you'll be in darkness. I'm going to move out, in other words. You see, when you cast into outer darkness, you cast out of the blessings of the light because you don't have the proper garment. The garment that we have, the garment that we wear, has everything to do with how bright that light is in the church. For each individually. This was an individual case right here. You remember when the prodigal son in the 15th chapter of Luke, when he came back home after all that he'd suffered, after all that he had went through? You remember what the father gave him? Gave him the best robe. Not just a good robe. Not just a clean robe. The Bible says they gave him the best robe and gave him shoes for his feet and put a ring on his finger. You see, that best robe is what we're to be robed in. What we're to show forth in this life. The shoes on the feet are to go forth and show others what great things the Lord has done for you. And the ring is a reminder of your commitment. You see, we have a ring here. When you get married, you wear a ring, right? And it's a reminder of the commitment that you have towards your spouse. Well, and likewise, he was given a ring as a reminder of the commitment that he has towards the husband, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the church is the bride. Jesus Christ is the husband. And we ought to be reminded often. We ought to be reminded often that we're married to Him. That He is our husband. That we're to go to Him. We're to look to Him. In Colossians chapter 3, let's go look at this garment. Let's see what this garment is. So this garment is so important as we come into the Lord's house and reading that in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. When we come into that wedding feast, listen to what he says here in the third chapter of Colossians. We'll start off in the 8th verse. But now ye also put off all these. So before you can put something on, he first tells us there's something you got to take off. You got to put something off. He says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Have we put those off? Are those off of us? Or do we have them there at the door as we leave the house from time to time, and we're quick to robe ourselves in these things that are called anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communications? He says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. So here's the garment that we're to take off, and here's the garment that we're to put on in his wedding feast. Certainly it's talking about in his house, in his church, but it's talking about each and every day, because when we leave here, we are still part of the church. You're still a viable part of the church. When you go and you leave here throughout the week, you represent Mountain Home Primitive Baptist Church. People will get an idea of the church through you, by your actions, by your deeds, by what you say. They get an idea of the church. He says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after him, after the image of him that created him. We could preach on that for an hour. Put on the new man, which is renewed. How? In knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And put on, therefore, as the elect of God. He's going to tell you what to put on. Holy and beloved, he tells you your state. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, comma, holy and beloved. By the way, you're the elect of God, and you're holy and beloved of the Lord. He goes on to say, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. This is what we're to be wearing. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness. Do we wear these? Humbleness. Are we humble before the Lord? Are we humble before one another? Humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Forbearing one another, and here's a big one, and forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Say, well, that's kind of hard. Well, let's read the rest of that verse. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. Our unforgiveness towards somebody shows forth in our mind that Christ did forgive, but we're unable to forgive. That Christ forgave me, but I'm unable to forgive anybody else or somebody else of something. That's a sad state to be in. When you don't have forgiveness. And when you don't have that kind of forgiveness and you can't see what the Lord has forgiven you of, you know what? You got the old man on. You got the old man on. You don't have the right garment for the wedding. Goes on to say, and above all these things, put on charity. Charity is very important, isn't it? Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. A couple of more places before we close. There we see the garment that was put on. We see, let me go ahead and go to the third chapter of Revelations, and we'll look at the church of Laodicea. Church of Laodicea in the third chapter of Revelations in the 18th verse. You remember they were lukewarm. They weren't hot or cold. They were just lukewarm. He said in the 18th verse, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Now he's talking to the church. He's not talking to just somebody or anybody. He's talking to the church at Laodicea. They had gotten into a bad way. That thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. They'd gotten to a place, you see, and now they were clothed in the eternal righteousness of Jesus Christ, but they had left off the garments that they were to wear, the wedding garment that we were supposed to put on. And we can also read that over in the book of Ephesians, and we won't go there, but where we take off the old man and put on the new. And we need to remind ourselves to do that. See, we don't have to worry about the other one. That's taken care of. The Lord has. But what garment are you wearing today? Are you wearing this garment that the Lord has given to us to be able to put on? Are we living in that way when we come together? Do we come together in that spirit? In Mark chapter 10, the Lord's going through the streets, you remember, and he comes to blind Bartimaeus, and blind Bartimaeus begins to cry out to the Lord. There were many blind people, it says there at that time. And they told blind Bartimaeus, shh, you know, Jesus was coming, and they said, hush. And the more they tried to hush blind Bartimaeus, it said the more that he cried out, the louder that he cried out. And the Lord heard him. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called in the 49th verse. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I want you to listen to this in the 50th verse. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And he, casting away his garments. Now, there's a literal sense there in which he cast away his garments, but figuratively, when we come to the Lord in the church, you know what we're to do? We're to cast away our garments. Our garments. When we join the church, we're to cast away that garment. And we're to put on the new man. He cast away his garments, rose, and did what? And came to Jesus. No, we do that in the church when we join the church. We're casting away that garment. We're casting away that worldly way of living, the worldly views that we have. We're putting on those garments of humility, of meekness, of love, of long-suffering, kindness. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He cast away his garment. He had a need. He came in. The Lord healed him. And then what happens? He said, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know what Jesus is saying? Okay, you may leave now. You've been made whole. The Lord's, I've healed you. What happens? And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He didn't go his way, did he? Which way did he go? He went the Lord's way. He followed Jesus in the way. I would to God that we as church members, as a congregation, individually, collectively, that we would continue to follow the Lord and go where he goes. That we may put off that old garment and put on that new garment. That when we come to the wedding feast, that we may be able to rejoice in the Lord and have love and forgiveness for one another. God bless you. I appreciate the time.